Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a blessed morning so far. Today we are in Numbers 13, a pretty famous chapter if you've read it in the past. And I'm excited to dive in with all of you to see what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. So let's open up in a word of prayer and get started. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for today, the day after the storm, Lord. We thank you for the rain that we needed, and we thank you for keeping us safe in the storm. And we just ask, Lord, that as we enter this chapter where we see a storm going on, that you would teach us, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to a personal message, a Holy Spirit revelation that we can take today, Lord, and move forward in this day with you, with that promise, with that word, with that rhema. So thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for what you're going to do. We love you, and we pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version, Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zakur. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodai. From the tribe of Manasseh, a tribe of Joseph, Gadai, son of Susai. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamali. From the tribe of Asher, Sathur, son of Michael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, son of Vafsi. From the tribe of Gad, Geuel, son of Makai. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name of Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahaham, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." The word of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's first get this joke off my chest so I can concentrate on the truth Jesus wants to share with us today. So this is a silly joke that we used to say all the time with our kids. Which Bible character had no parents? Joseph, son of Nun. But this part isn't a joke. What part of the promise in verse 2 that God gave to Moses did the majority of the Israelite explorers, aka spies, who were leaders, not believe in? This promise says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders.'" The answer to the joke, not a joke, none. 10 out of the 12 did not have the faith to act as if they believed in that promise that the Lord gave. The Lord had told the Israelites that he was giving this land of Canaan to them. And as we learn at the end of the chapter, they were too fearful to believe that promise. The Lord had told Moses to send a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to explore, to check out, to spy on the promised land. Once again, a land that had been promised to them, a land flowing with milk and honey. In the second half of verse 3, we learn that all of them were leaders of the Israelites. Leaders are influencers. This past summer, I asked my cousin's young daughter, who was visiting from California, who's only in fourth grade, what she wanted to be when she grew up. And I was shocked when she responded, "I want to be an influencer." I had never heard that from a young child. What do you want to be? You know, usually it was like a doctor or a teacher. She wants to be an influencer. I don't think she realized the power of an influencer, as we will see as the chapter unfolds. These leaders were asked to inspect and evaluate the land of Canaan. The timing of this trip is just a little over a year since the Israelites were miraculously freed from Egypt. They were given specific instructions in verses 17 to 20, what to do and where to go. A note in my Life Application Bible: remember, SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. I always love the notes of application, of practical application in my Bible. And this note reads, Moses decided what information was needed before the people could enter the promised land, and he took careful steps to get that information. When you are making decisions or assuming new responsibilities, remember these two important steps. Ask yourself what you need to know about the opportunity and then obtain the knowledge. Common sense is a valuable aid in accomplishing God's purposes. Their journey of inspection and evaluation lasted for 40 days, and they returned with a report that, in fact, the promised land, while relatively small, was only 150 miles long and 60 miles wide, was lush and covered with amazing fruit. In verse 27, they report, We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. Here's my visual aid for today. They presented such a huge single cluster of grapes that it took two men to carry it on a pole. So impressive, but soon those grapes turned into the proverbial sour grapes. When they took their eyes off of God's promises and started to focus on their fear. In addition to all of the milk and honey, they saw the Anak. The descendants of Anak were a powerful race of significant height. The family of Goliath may have been descended from these people. They saw other enemies and they saw fortified cities. Another note in my Life Application Bible states, when the spies reported back to Moses, they gave plenty of good reasons for entering the land, but they couldn't stop focusing on their fear. Talk of giants and fortified cities made it easy to forget about God's promise to help. When facing a tough decision, don't let the negative cause you to lose sight of the positives. Weigh both sides carefully. Don't let potential difficulties blind you to God's power to help and His promise to guide. Verse 28 begins the doubt and lack of faith of the 10 of the 12 leaders with one little word, but. The King James Version uses the word nevertheless, aka despite all of that. The ESV version uses the word however. The Message version says, the only thing is, verse 28 reads, but, or nevertheless, however, the only thing is, the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. In verse 30, Caleb operates in faith and challenges their unbelief and speaks up. Verse 30 says, Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. Yet another note in my Bible challenges me. Imagine standing before a crowd and loudly voicing an unpopular opinion. Caleb was willing to take the unpopular stand to do as God had commanded. To be effective when you go against the crowd, you must one, have the facts. Caleb had seen the land himself. Two, have the right attitude. Caleb trusted God's promise to give Israel the land. And state clearly, three, what you believe. Caleb said, We certainly can do it. Excuse me, I'm going to take a sip real quick. Verse 31 follows with another but. Nevertheless, however, the only thing is. But the men who had gone up with him said, We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report. This chapter pathetically ends with, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes and looked the same to them." 10 of the 12 leaders influenced the Israelites by speaking doubt, fear, and faithlessness in the promise of God. The only two of the 12 still celebrated today are Caleb and Joshua, because they had the faith, courage, and wisdom to secure their foundation in the promise of the Lord. It's interesting how in the beginning of the chapter, they read all those difficult names, but only two do we celebrate and remember. As Christians, just like those 12 leaders, we are all influencers, whether direct or indirect, with our words, actions, relationships, integrity, the list goes on and on. So today, we're challenged to ask ourselves, what kind of influencer am I? What's the impact of my influence? Do I see myself as a grasshopper influencer or a Caleb influencer? What kind of leader? Am I a leader like Joshua, or am I seeing myself as a grasshopper? When I first read this chapter, I could have easily seen myself as a grasshopper and thought, I can't pronounce all of those names. What, are you crazy? But I was called to lead this soap, so had to figure it out. When I was called to start a mission and to build houses in the Dominican Republic, and myself had never built a single house, I think the only thing I ever made was a cutting board in shop class in eighth grade. I am not a construction. I could have easily seen myself as a grasshopper and said, but, however, nevertheless. But I started thinking about it. Even grasshoppers have amazing attributes because of God, because God created them. So I started thinking to myself, but God, instead of but the fearful things. Nevertheless, God. However, God. Despite all that, God. The only thing is God. And I started looking up some amazing facts about grasshoppers. And did you know that grasshoppers have ears on their bellies and not on their heads? Did you know that grasshoppers have 5 eyes, including 2 large compound eyes and 3 smaller eyes? Did you know that grasshoppers are expert jumpers and can jump up to 200 times their body length? And did you know that grasshoppers spit a brown liquid to defend themselves from predators? It reminded me, I once had someone say to me that Christianity is a crutch. And I replied, oh, it's much better than a crutch. It's a hot air balloon and helps me to achieve heights I could never imagine. Because you see, I am a grasshopper, but God. Of course, we're seen as small and not powerful, but because of the over 7,000 promises in the Bible, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the power of the church coming together, unified to be the bride of Christ, we can say, but God, in whatever God is calling us to do, and anchor ourselves, our foundation, in the promises of God. Hear these grapes. Don't let your grapes turn to sour grapes. Trust God and live out your faith wholeheartedly, like Caleb and Joshua did. You know, there was another note in my Bible that says that this particular incident was a crossroads in Israel's history. When the spies returned to Kadesh from scouting the new land, the people had to decide whether to enter the land or to retreat. They chose to retreat and were condemned to wander 40 years in the desert. And because of the Israelites' lack of faith, they needed more than a lifetime to go from Kadesh to the promised land. That's why a whole generation, except Caleb and Joshua, and those that were very young, did not make it into the promised land. Even Moses, a fantastic, amazing leader, wholeheartedly for the Lord, did not enter the promised land because of his lack of faith in one instance. So today, as leaders, as influencers, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Are we choosing faith or fear? You know that FEAR, the acronym F-E-A-R, I've shared before, as I've always said to myself, it stands for false evidence appearing real. Those 10 spies, they came back and they did a mixture of lies, truth, and exaggerations. And because they mixed in lies and exaggerations with the truth, they created fear, false evidence appearing real. If we go back to the description, it says that people were getting devoured, and they were so powerful and fortified. So they created this false perception. We as Christians, influencers, and leaders, we need to be careful of what report are we sharing? How are we influencing? And if you're my age, I don't know if anyone here remembers the TV show back from the 70s called Kung Fu, and there was the master. Yeah, I see some hands. There was the master, and there was the student, the mentee. And the master called his student Grasshopper, and he would say to him, "Choose wisely, Grasshopper." And to me, that's the message. I don't know why that came to me. That's the message that the Lord has for us today. This is still a message for today. It's applicable for today. Choose wisely, Grasshopper. Yes, you are a grasshopper, but nevertheless, with God, if he's calling you to do something and he's promised you something, move forward. Carry those grapes boldly. Show people the promised land and move forward, just like despite what other people are saying. Don't put yourself in the majority with the 10. Put yourself in the minority with Caleb and Joshua and enter that promised land that God has for you. And so we aren't looking at Numbers 14 tomorrow, I don't think, if I remember correctly from looking at the SOAP guide. Does anybody have the SOAP guide? No, thank you, Nicole. We are not. Sadly, if you choose to continue to read into Numbers 14, we learn that the Bible says that God blessed Caleb because he had a different spirit or a different attitude from the rest of the people. That's in Numbers 14:24. He remained wholeheartedly loyal to God. Caleb followed God when no one else did, and his uncompromising obedience earned him a lasting reward. Woo! Usually I have so much more to say than in a half hour, and today, God's message was so precise. I don't know how much more I have to say. So I wanted to take a moment. I'm going to set my timer for 60 seconds. And I want everyone to just personally think and pray, what is God maybe calling me to? How can I choose wisely in this decision that God is calling me to? So let me get my trusty phone, because I use the timer and alarms a lot. And I'm just going to set it for 60 seconds. And I want just all of us to sit quietly, take a big, deep breath. I love how Heather is always reminding us to take a breath, to inhale and exhale, and to contemplate. God has created us to make sure that we pause, spend some time with him, not with the 10 spies that are influencing us negatively and spreading exaggerations and lies, but to spend the time with him in his word, discovering the milk and honey of those 7,000 promises. So we're just going to take a quick pause, take a big deep breath in, a deep breath out, and just be thinking, meditating, and praying on the Lord. Okay, so if in those 60 seconds the Lord brought something to mind or a decision that you have to make or something that you have to stand up for, let's do the application part of SOAP. We read the scripture, we observed the action of the spies and what the Lord would want to teach us today. Now we have to apply it. How can we apply that? Number one, admit that we are part grasshopper. We're not perfect, only God is. We're not supernaturally powerful, but with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Lord, we are. We have supernatural powers just like the grasshopper. So even if you see yourself as a grasshopper, which I do in many areas of my life, I'm going to trust the Lord and his promises and move forward. Even if others see me as a grasshopper, if I am being told by other people, oh, Ann, you can't do that. You can't pronounce all those names in this chapter. You can't start a mission in the Dominican Republic. If God is calling me to it, I'm going to say to those naysayers, yep, I am a grasshopper. But if I model what Moses modeled to us, if I do my homework, if I pray, if I ask the Lord to go before me, if I go and investigate, and if I do my research and I plan accordingly, if I do my part of the miracle, I love how Pastor Brendan the other week, he said, miracles in motion. God's part is the miracle. Our part is the motion. We have to do our part and prepare for whatever God is calling us to do. And then, so number one, if you're a grasshopper, so be it. You still have supernatural powers. Number two, do your homework. Do your part of the miracle. And number three, have the courage. And if you don't have the courage, ask God for the courage. Believe the promise of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power that can work through you, and be a Caleb, be a Joshua, and speak up. Be part of the solution, not the problem. Don't spread bad reports. Don't mix the truth with lies and exaggerations to get people filled with fear or doubt. Be a Caleb today. Be a Joshua today. So we're going to close in a word of prayer and really ask. We're going to do the P of soup, the P of soup, the P of soap. See, I told you I'm a grasshopper, but I'm still here. My imperfect leadership will be used by the Lord because he's going to perfect this message, not me. So don't forget the fourth part of soap is prayer. So we're going to end our reading the scripture, observing what happened, challenged to apply it with a prayer, asking the Lord and the Holy Spirit to partner with us and to move forward to do our part of the miracle. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this amazing story that at first we can see these grapes turning into sour grapes, but you redeem all of our stories, Lord, and make our sour grapes sweet. So, Lord, would you help us to identify the areas in our lives where we might have a grasshopper mentality and you're calling us to move forward despite that? Give us wisdom, help us to plan, help us to do the motion part of the miracle and to partner with you in your promises and your power to represent your kingdom well, to influence well, to lead well. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in your kingdom and to say yes to all that you want in our lives. We choose you, your promises, and not fear. Fear be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. We take authority over that fear because we can. Your word says we can with the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, please give each one of us a fresh anointing and help us to move out boldly today in your power. We love you and we pray all these things in your powerful name. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone.